This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, tips for going viral from YouTube hitmakers. Plus, hope, the Holocaust, and humor combine in a darkly comic new novel by Shalom Oslander. And three professional women's proactive pursuit of motherhood, with a surprise twist ending. But first, a year ago this week, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was shot while meeting constituents outside of an Arizona supermarket. Six others were killed and 13 injured when Jared Loughner unloaded 32 rounds of bullets from a Glock handgun into the crowd. A year later, on January 8th, Gabby Giffords led the Pledge of Allegiance at a candlelight vigil.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reporter and author Tom Zellner is a fifth-generation Arizona native. He considers the baffling Tucson tragedy to be more than a random act by a mentally ill aggressor. In his book called A Safeway in Arizona, What the Gabrielle Giffords Shooting Tells Us About the Grand Canyon State and Life in America, Tom Zellner digs for deeper questions about the social, economic, environmental, and cultural context of the state where the shooting took place. Tom Zellner, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
You were there on January 8th, 2012, to hear Gabby Giffords address the crowd. What did you see and hear on that day?
Well, as the listeners just heard, she stood up and recited the Pledge of Allegiance with what I thought was a certain amount of gusto at the end. And that was surely just a wonderful moment for the state of Arizona, certainly for me personally, to see her with such verve after all this time.
You write early on that the city of Dallas did not kill Kennedy. Tucson did not kill six people last January. But contexts must always be taken into account because events are otherwise meaningless. So which contexts are you considering so important?
Well, I don't think that we can so easily strip Jared Loughner from what surrounded him the winter of 2010-2011. We were in the midst of one of the nastiest congressional campaigns in recent Arizona history. And you had a mentally ill individual who was going insane publicly and doing so for nearly 4 years. And this speaks to Arizona in many ways. And so, you know, while I think it would be ridiculous to say that, you know, Arizona caused this to happen, I think that Arizona did provide an aggravating context for his decision to go down to a discount big box chain store, purchase a Glock firearm, and go down to a grocery store to kill his congresswoman.
You're talking about that bitter race, some of the aggravating social factors mentioned shortly after the shooting by Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. Was the political vitriol. Now, he was a friend of Gabby Giffords, but his speech unleashed an avalanche of criticism. Do you think that had a chilling effect on looking at context beyond Loughner?
It had a chilling effect on, I think, us discussing what this shooting meant and where this came from. You know, one of the things that we do very well in the United States is try and get to the bottom of what went wrong. And after Dubnyk's infamous press conference, in which he sort of blamed rhetoric from radio and TV for causing this, that effectively silenced that conversation. And, you know, we began to talk about that this was the incomprehensible act of a deranged gunman, you know, could have happened anywhere, et cetera. And it really shut down the more important discussion that we needed to have, namely, how did this happen? And so while the sheriff was speaking intemperately, I think his core instinct was correct.
There was political vitriol on both sides everywhere in the United States at that time. What made it more acute in Arizona, or what makes Arizona this kind of crucible for national anxieties that you write about in the book?
We have a more distant culture with ourselves. It's harder to get to know your neighbors in Arizona. We're a state that has much of its culture come from newcomers, both from both up from Mexico and from other portions of the United States. These are folks who moved to Arizona to sort of pursue a lifestyle, pursue a good job, pursue sort of a kind of an easy, sunny existence around the swimming pool. and it becomes more difficult to have the kind of human connections that are important for building a healthy community and a healthy society. And we're seeing a lot of what the United States is confronting play out in Arizona, and in my view, a more heated way than it needs to be.
You write a pretty detailed chapter on the cultural history of schizophrenia and about Jared Loughner and his growing illness. Very moving sort of look at schizophrenia in our larger society, not just in his life, and sort of place him among many people. I'm reading here a Gallup poll in 2009 revealing that only 12% of Arizona residents believe that their neighbors care about them, which is a national low. What did that sense of isolation, how did that contribute to this tragedy?
Well, first of all, those who are suffering from paranoid schizophrenia are twice as likely to do so in environments that have social disconnection, such as Tucson certainly can epitomize. And this prevents people close to the person who is going downhill from doing the right thing, for suggesting help, for getting the person into some kind of treatment setting, instead of being allowed to marinate in their delusions as Loughner was for so long. And you know, this is a contributing context that Arizona can provide.
We're talking with Tom Zellner, an investigative journalist, a fifth-generation Arizona native who wrote about the role of context in the shooting of Gabby Giffords and nearly 20 others in Tucson on January 8th of last year. His new book is called A Safe Way in Arizona. So you are talking about things that, of course, are part of a national, mental health, social safety net, a lot of much bigger questions. But some of the revelations that I found in your book about Arizona, which many do consider to be a kind of playground or maybe a golf course of the wealthy, spas in Scottsdale, golf courses in the desert, it is actually one of the poorest states in the nation.
In terms of the number of people living in poverty, that is true. And the income divide is greater in Arizona. And this did play a role.
How about the role of this anti-immigration fervor that was, I suppose, epitomized by Arizona's strict anti-immigration law, SB 1070?
It was one of the reasons why Gabby's race in 2010 did get as bitter as it did. And while there's no evidence that the gunman had any concern about immigration, it did set the water boiling at a much higher temperature than a normal congressional race would. I remember when congressional races in Arizona used to be quite boring and blissfully so. They were focused on issues. They weren't shot through with ad hominem attacks such as this one was.
You tell us that you are friends with Gabrielle Gifford and that this book is not a work of journalism. What then is it? What were you looking to do?
I was after answers. I worked as a newspaper reporter for 10 years, and as you know, Virginia, you can't get too close to the subject, but this is one in which I was, it was impossible for me to be objective about Gabrielle because she's been a friend for 10 years. I volunteered on two of her campaigns, as a matter of fact, and this one hit very close to home, but I couldn't just sort of sit on the sidelines. I had to try and get to the bottom of it. I felt strongly that's what she would have wanted.
I'm wondering how the climate feels to you in Arizona today, maybe what has changed, maybe how people are talking about balancing this kind of extreme need for personal liberties or sense of personal liberties and how that squares with what we now know is a human need for cooperation and community.
Yeah, out of this incident, you really see sort of an American metaphor take root. We are a country that treasures individualism. It's a wonderful thing about the U.S., that you can pick up and move and start a new life and do so through your own sense of willpower and creativity. And we see this in Arizona, and it's one of the wonderful things about my home state. But on the other hand, we have to acknowledge that this does come with a certain price to be paid in terms of the fabric of the community being thinner than it normally would be or should be. And how do we reconcile this sort of wonderful American urge for liberty with our need to work together and get along and, you know, prevent incidents like this from happening.
What does understanding the context of what was called, you know, an astounding and incomprehensible tragedy in Tucson mean for us, the readers, the listeners all over the country?
The tragedy should give us all a sense of pause. How does something like this happen in a civilized society? This is not the United States of America that anyone wants. And if we just sort of blow it off, sweep it under the rug, ignore the root causes, and just sort of write this off as the lone act of a deranged gunman, that's not the kind of American response that I think is appropriate.
So is there an assumption there of some power to do something about it?
Oh, absolutely. This was not a natural disaster that came out of nowhere. It wasn't a tornado in the sky. This had specific human and societal aggravating factors associated with it, and this is absolutely within our power to change and do different.
Tom Zellner, I really want to thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure to be with you.
Tom Zellner teaches at Chapman University. He's also author of Uranium and the Heartless Stone and former reporter for the Arizona Republic. We do have more on his book, A Safe Way in Arizona, What the Gabrielle Giffords Shooting Tells Us About the Grand Canyon State and Life in America. You'll find that at wordofmouthradio.org, where we'd also like to hear your thoughts. Where does one stack up place in acts of violence and outrage? Does that amount to blaming the system, the media, the place? Are we too quick to explain away events that horrify us? Let us know your thoughts in an email to wordofmouth@nhpr.org or on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, or on Twitter, @WordOfMouth. Coming up, turning viral YouTube videos into stardom. Some tips from the pros. That's when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.